And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, hold on, my good friends. How is it acceptable for us to understand that everything is already set for God's purpose without us understanding what's taking place? It's simpler than we're willing to admit. God knows everything. And in the Garden of Eden, the sinners, Adam and Eve, tried to find equality with God. Even though they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they did not eat from the tree of omniscience. So take heed to that. And next, we have all heard birds of a feather flock together. When the Bible teaches us not to associate with others, it doesn't mean you can't say hi. It means you can't plant yourself in their garden. Association, to a degree, is not always okie-dokie, but engagement is always fine. Let's try and understand what this means. Connecting with unbelievers is great. Communing with unbelievers is a wee bit different. And finally, this is a daily prayer. Every day I ask God for help in this specific arena, that my thoughts would be acceptable to him. I love the King James Version in this text we're going to review, and I pray it every day. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look, I know that my desire is to think godly, but it's only by his grace that I can ever hope to do so. Can you say amen?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. How much more? A lot. Okay? Remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. And just let me say this. We just did this 30-minute interview. For those of you that don't know, you have to understand, there were no planned questions. We did 20 minutes of radio with no plan. You might as well just get used to it. Now, I made a couple of boo-boos there, a couple of mistakes. Wasn't the end of the world. And we had to change his headset scenario. Wasn't the end of the world, but it was still cool. And what's cool is we can interview any pastor just like that, talking about their church. Now, who would love that more than me? Okay. So here's the bottom line. Maybe you want to reach out to us by email. You are welcome to do that. David@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. Maybe you want to text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You know, you can even call us. Yeah, you can do that. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Here's the thing. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Dynamite! Talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the weekend. So if you guys can understand that, I'm sure you can appreciate it. A couple things I need to tell you before we do anything else, but if you've got a praise report, man, oh, man, oh, man, jump on that phone or text. Let me know. Reach out to us. We want to share it. Why? Because when you share a praise report, especially if you read Psalm 40, you get it. When other people hear it, they put more trust in the Lord. Now, isn't that a good thing? Sure it is. Now, what about prayer requests as opposed to praise reports? Prayer requests are great because it unites us. So we just had Scott on, and we just had his ministry on, right? And the ministry is something that we need to partner with because we need to partner with all ministries. We just talked about it yesterday. And so prayer unites us. It puts us together. It connects us. And I promise you, as the world tries to rip the church to shreds, it will be the Lord uniting us together that gives us endurance and ability. After all, when they persecuted the church, it was all those people that held it together that were able to ultimately spread the gospel throughout the world.
Think about how needed that is, Dave. Division is everywhere. Just think if we were truly united and for one another as one church, Dave, what could be accomplished?
Oh, it's just endless. People need to understand it's endless what we could do. AMPartnership.org is the name of their group. And that was Scott. He did a phenomenal job. That's our first interview. We did it on the run. And it was great. Right? That's just fun. Here's the bottom line. You need to be knowing all the different things that are going on. You're not going to get every single ministry, but it's fun to get some, all right? So here's the thing. You can do all this stuff, and you can also answer Bible trivia if you've just got that going on in your brain. You're thinking, I can do Bible trivia. I can do it. Okay, here you go. Here's your first Bible trivia question. To save his life, Moses was hidden until what age? Is it 2 months? 3 months? Or 6 months? Your answer, by the way, is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. But is it 2 months, 3 months, or 6 months? That is the question. See, that's the kind of simple question. And so if you think you have an answer for that question, then this is what you do. You can either call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So now I want to take a second because I want to pray for my wife. And I want you guys to pray with me. And I also want to pray for our brother who his name is Keith Oakley. We were able to talk today briefly on the phone. And he's got some health issues he needs some coverage in. Noelle has some issues she needs some coverage in. And we have different people. Just found out my neighbor had surgery on his shoulder. He needs some help. So we want to pray for people that the Lord brings into our lives, lift them up before the Lord, and ask for the Lord to bring healing into them. Right? So let's do that. Then we'll go back to the trivia, and then we'll do DNA. Okay? You got what I'm saying? So let's do the prayer for the people first. Okay? Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, we don't know anything. We just act like we know everything and we're so smart and we get it all. We don't. We just need you. We need more of you. We need every bit of you. And we need to have less of us getting in the way. Man, I know I need it. I need less of me, Lord, because I'm a mess from time to time, Lord. But I look to you, and I lift up right now my wife, who's not feeling good. And you know how that makes me feel? I mean, it's just the other part of me. And I'm just asking you to bring your healing power into her body and let her feel much, much better. And we lift up our brother to you, Lord. We lift up Keith, and we ask you in the name of Jesus that you'd bring healing into his body, all of it. He has a lot of different struggles going on there. Bring your healing power into his life. Let him know the touch from the Holy Spirit. And for our brother Gary, whom we love, Lord, we just keep praying every day, heal this man, heal this man. For our brother Ace and for all of our brothers and all of our sisters who are struggling, having physical ailments and having a tough time, Lord, we petition you. We do what Moses did in Numbers 12:13. Lord, we say, please, please bring your healing power into the lives of these people because we believe you are that merciful. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So was that, by the way, was that Keith on the phone?
Yeah, that's
okay,
Keith, cool. So we got
okay.
That information.
All right, got that done? Okay, here. So here's the triv question one more time, and then we'll do our DNA. Triv question, here we go. To save his life, Moses was hidden until what age? Is it 2 months, 3 months,
or 6 months? Definitely in the category of months, right? Okay. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Boy, this has just been, this is just a lot going on, man. Droom, 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 droom. Right? It's like, follow the ace. Okay. Let's do our DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
All right, so here's the deal on that. Just do it. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. How? I don't know. Where? I don't know. For how long? I don't care. Just do it. Make it a habit. It's like the more you do it, the more often you do it, the better your entire existence is. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what he had to say. You know, Scott was right. There's a truth and a beauty to life and to marriage that God has ordained. Hey, it's not a joke. Just because the world mocks it means nothing, since most of the world's not going to make it anyway. And then the other thing is, A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter. And why is that important? Because, wait. Because other people matter. Because Jesus taught us to love one another as he loved us. Remember, that's John 13, 34, 35, the new commandment. That's what goes beyond you loving your neighbor as yourself. It goes even beyond that. It's like, well, you got to do even better. What? It's never ending. So please love on other people, and then you're going to find an interesting thing that happens inside of you. More grace in your existence seems to appear. Look at that, right? That's a pretty good one right there. Okay. All right, so we are going to do the first teaching. I'm going to pull that off. Got plenty of time. Just rolling through it. Here we are. Ready. Proverbs 16:4. By the way, while I have you all here, so we are ending three books. And so we have figured out that we're going to do James and we're going to do Genesis, but I need two more books. So I'm just telling everybody right now, I'm kind of all over the place on this. I'm thinking Minor Prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Judges, Joshua, Romans, 2 Timothy, Jude, Revelation. I need some input from the audience from time to time about what books you guys want to go into, because we're eventually going to do them all. But we want to get the ones we haven't done next, if that makes sense. So, you know, we haven't done a lot on Minor Prophets or Major Prophets, so I am thinking Isaiah might be good. And I'm also thinking, you know, Titus might be good. So if you've got an opinion, you can email, you can text, you can just share your thoughts. I don't mind. We do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's give them the chance to do that real quickly. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dave. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, everything's okay. It's going. I've got a request after I get through with the question, Lou.
All right. I have confidence you will get this, because if you don't get this, we're going to help you get this. So therefore, you're going to get this. Okay?
Okay.
All right. How old, in order to save Moe's life, how old was he when they tried to save his life? Was he 2 months, 3 months, or 6 months old?
I think he was 3 months.
3 months is correct, sir! There you go. Excellent job. Exodus 2:2. He's 3 months old. He's like, yep, gotta save him now. Gotta take care of him now. And that's amazing, because that was the defiance. Let's just be honest. It was defiance against Pharaoh, against the government. The government was trying to kill the kids. And it's like, no. And
not today.
That's not going to happen here. And that's how it should always be with all of us, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, Daddy-O.
Yeah. Excellent, brother. You doing all right?
Well, Daddy, I'll tell you what. I'm having some trouble walking, but that's not why I'm asking for prayers. I've got a friend. Her name is Michelle. And she is, her doctor sent her home to die about a year ago. She'd been fighting cancer for about 6 years, but she got into a an experiment, a trial down at MD Anderson in Houston. And her insurance won't pay for nothing because it's a trial. And I'm trying to raise money for her. Somehow I'm just praying that God will work it out because she has to pay for her treatments. She has to pay for her driving, for her hotel. She got two kids in school, and her husband's a police officer. They don't make a lot of money, but still, God can open doors and do move people's hearts. So if you would pray for Michelle.
Yeah, let's pray for her right now. Let's do it, okay? Okay, let's do it right now. Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, this is it's simple, Lord. This needs a miracle. We need your help. We need your, you know, Lord, there's plenty in the heavenlies, and we just ask you to open up that door and pour it out on for people like this who are trying to get it right, do it right, be right, walk right. And we just, you know, bless our brother for being caring and loving about the situation. But we ask you to create a miracle, both for healing for him and for financial blessing and healing for her. We need this, Lord. We need victories, Lord, to encourage one another. We're not telling you what to do. We're not trying to manipulate you. We're asking you exactly like we were commanded to do by Jesus, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And that's what we're doing. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would grant this powerful manifestation of your kingdom in these lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, brother. I'll tell you what, I'm just waiting to see the flood come in now because I know it will.
Amen. Amen, brother. Love you in the Lord,
I'm
man.
I'm praying for you and your ministry, too. I love it.
All right. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're still going to – it's okay. We can still stick through it. We'll just keep going. All right, so great call, by the way. So that was an excellent answer on trivia. I would like to point that out. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good for a lot of people. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked – for the day of disaster. Prepared everything? Then why bother if it's all predestined, David? Why? It's all destined going to happen. Here's why. Ready? We don't know what that destiny is. See, here's the thing. God knows. But what do we say a lot on this show? God knows. He's not telling. Here's the thing. God knows. So we're commanded to do things before the Lord. He knows what's going to happen. You have to understand, think about what omniscience means. It doesn't mean he kind of knows things. Omniscience, you know, it comes from science is the last part of that word. It's knowledge. And omni is like all existent, everything. And so God has everything knowledge. What does that mean? That means everything, everywhere, every time. God already knows. And the Lord's already in action that things are taking place. But he's not telling you. He's not telling me. Now, he does tell people from time to time through prophets. But we don't know what the destiny from God is. What we know is that God is in control. Now, here's the other thing you got to know. He's in control. Wait. And he likes you. See how those work together? You see, we're commanded to do things without being privileged to know or to know why, and we do them because we have this heart towards the Lord, but the secret things belongeth unto the Lord, and unless he reveals it, nobody's going to get that knowledge, and God owns all of those destinies, so to speak, and there is a difference between us and God, and in that understanding, he who knows everything likes you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that we are liked and loved by God. And just I made this argument before, and I did it 30 years ago with this one fellow. And he goes, well, God loves me, but he doesn't like me. And I just said, would you spend eternity with somebody you didn't like? No. Well, there you go. Okay, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're getting ready for your next trivia question. Let's see what people can do with this one. This should be pretty interesting to hear people respond to. How old was Moses when he presented himself to Pharaoh to bring Israel out of Egypt? How old was Moses when he made the presentation? Was he 70 years old, 40 years old, or 80 years old? Was he 70 years old, 40 years old, or 80 years old? How old was Mo when he presented himself to Pharaoh? If you think you know the answer, we would encourage you to reach out and let us know what you think. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, as well as you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How old was Pharaoh when he presented himself how old was Moses when he presented himself to Pharaoh to get the children of Israel outski? I don't know. Somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. What is outski? Okay, send him through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
I'm talking to Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm not quite 80 years old, though.
Brilliant answer, my friend, and that is correct, Amundo. I'm doing okay. I'm not quite 80 years old, Dave. That is the right answer, my brother. 80 years old.
Well, I'm not near as far away as some people think, though.
That's even a better backup answer. I love it. Great job, brother. Very, very funny.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Oh, what a great, great, great job that was. I'm feeling like 80. Moses was 80 years old. Now, remember this, folks. He was 40 when he messed up, right? Then he went to the backside of a desert for 40 years. He came back. He was 80. He did his ministry till he was 120. So watch this. His ministry began the last third of his life. Right? Wow. I'll tell you when the Lord's done with you, when he tells you. That's when. How about that one? Ooh, that's a good one right there. All right. Okie dokie, artichokes, and everything else there is. All right. Don't forget, you got to get to me on what books we need to be doing, because I've got like two or three more books I got to fill in. We're going to be doing Genesis. We're going to be doing James. But I'm trying to figure out whether we want to go into 1 Samuel or Isaiah or Malachi or Romans or Titus or Revelation.
That's a lot of choices right there.
I know. And, you know, and then it'll be more fun, because in like 6 or 7 years, then we'll be repeating. Yeah, it won't be as many notes for me to make. All right, let's get into the very next text, please. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. A very interesting text. Some of you are going to find this a little more challenging than you want it to be, and that's okay. It's great to be challenged by the Word of God. Never forget this. When you're engaging in the Word and you come across something and you're thinking, hey, I'm doing all right there. That's cool. I just, you know, that's cool. And you can always say, that help me do a little better. But when you come across something and you're really not where it needs to be, you don't sit there and whine about it. You don't run and hide. You sit there and you say, Lord, I need help. I need your help to get there. That's what you do. All right? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of the world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. It's like, what? All right, let's understand what's going on. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not meaning sexually immoral people of the world. He's talking about people that claim to be Christians or claim to be believers, and they're sexually immoral, and it's like, hanging out with them, that's dumb. Because they're lying. And you already know they're lying. So this is the element here. When it says don't associate, you don't keep company in that way. Okay? That's, you don't do that. Okay, for people that are claiming to be Christians. But that doesn't mean that people who are non-Christians, you don't ever talk to them. You don't ever engage with them. You don't ever, you know, have no, like, I can't have any friends. It's like, no, no. If Jesus was called the friend of the sinner and the drunkard, how is that going to play? In other words, we get what we do in our Christian faith is we kind of cocoon the process and we protect ourselves so much that we have nothing else outside of us that could be interfering. Hey, you know what? That's really not the intent, because then how do those people ever hear the gospel? The key in connecting with people who are worldly is that you don't get to the place where you allow the worldly influence they have to affect you. So if you're hanging out with somebody who's not a Christian and it's affecting your Christianity, that's your parameter. And that's not genius or anything. Just be careful with that, right? The idea is this. Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collectors and the sinners. Look, here's the understanding, and this is kind of what we need to break away from. Christianity, God's going to separate the Christians from the non-Christians. But you don't go to church to retreat. Did you hear what I just said? I just want you to hear this one line. You don't go to church to retreat. Or you don't go to, like, it's a fortress of solitude. The church is the making place for the marketplace. What the church ought to be doing is equipping people so that when they're in the world, they can minister in the world. That's what it's be. It's not just a safe haven, get away from everything else. That's not how that is supposed to go. And if Jesus was a friend of the sinner, It certainly means he wasn't a monk. So the idea that we can all just duck and hide, that's not what's going to happen. Now, when persecution comes, that'll be a little different. Okay, so we're not talking about that. But what we are talking about is it's not a sin for you to know people who don't know Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. You're the gospel ambassador, right? You don't just be an ambassador to other ambassadors. You be an ambassador to the people that are different. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to encourage you in is not to so be so restrained that you can never connect. Because Jesus didn't do that. He connected. And what's amazing about the way that Jesus did is he didn't, well, I shouldn't say amazing, but he never compromised who he was in his connections. But he was somebody they could go to. What we need to be is the people that have no hope, they need to be able to come to us and say, what is the hope that is in you? They can't do that if you not won't even say hi. Not just going to come knock on your door out of nowhere saying, I've never met you before, but here, tell me about Jesus. You know, it's like it's a little different. Let's be aware that we are, like we talked about yesterday, being vehicles of giving and vehicles and vessels of God's, you know, compassion and directing that towards people. Be aware that that message of hope, that message of the gospel, that is what you are. You are the vessel of the gospel. And it's okay to have a cup of coffee with somebody who doesn't think that God is there. Oh, that's just like people are freaking out right now. No, no, it's okay. As long as it doesn't, you know, deplete your confidence. And it shouldn't. Your confidence should not be that weak, to be honest. Be a vessel of the message of God. That's what he made you. Yes, you speak for God. Okay, take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every city along the way until he came to Caesarea. He was in Caesarea, by the way, for 20 years, which explains why he had the daughters. But here's what I want you to catch. While he was en route, he landed in the Azotus. However he got from point A to point B is amazing. We don't even know. But what he did was he preached the gospel in every city along the way until he came to his destination. And if you cannot recognize, that is a testimony from God saying you take the gospel wherever you go until you reach your destination, which is either you being called up to the Lord personally, corporately, or however it's going to take place. Every place we go, everywhere we are, we take the gospel. That does not mean you grab a microphone. It does not mean you grab some kind of bullhorn and scream at people with the gospel. You just make sure that you are sensitive. That's the very DNA we talk about all the time. You're sensitive to the Lord. You're taking the gospel with you wherever you go. You're recognizing that wherever you go, you might have a one-time encounter with somebody, and they might make a decision for Jesus just based on that encounter. Noelle and I had that exact thing happen on our way from San Diego to Rockwell, to Fate. And we met somebody from a hotel that we were at and talked to them one time and prayed with her. And she became a Christian. And we never saw her again. It's not our call. It's up to the Lord. Just be available. You don't have to be, that's the word I'm looking for. You don't have to be Billy Graham. Like I said, Billy Graham wasn't Billy Graham. In other words, just be yourself. Be available. You never know what the Lord will do and how he'll use that. Okay? That's what's so cool about this text. Now, we finished up to chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 9, we're going into Saul. And that is some serious stuff. Here is the trivia question. What was the affliction of the woman who was touched, who touched the hem of Jesus' robe? And she had an issue with bleeding, an issue of blood, for quite some time, as we know, 12 years. The issue of blood, that is what she sought the Lord for. And she touched him, and then Jesus healed her physically, socially, psychologically, and emotionally all together at one time. Isn't that cool? Jesus is cool. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Saul, referring to King Saul, died along with how many sons? How many sons did Saul, the king, die with? Was it 10? 3 or 6? 10, 3, or 6? That is the question. How many sons did Saul die with? Your answer is in 1 Samuel 31:6. In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website, by the way. I will tell you, if you want to call, you can do that by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. Let me say something, though. So we had somebody give today. It was super easy. They used the phone instead of the website. You can always do that. You just send me either either leave me a message, send me an email saying you want to do it over the phone. It takes, it worked flawlessly. It took about 60 seconds. So if you ever want to do that, you can do that. You can also give directly on the website. Or, you know what? Give somewhere else. Give to other ministries. Do it. Just become a giver. That's the big thing. And then the other thing about the website is there's just cool stuff on it, and I like the way the site looks, and I like the way it works. So check out the website because I think it's cool. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Yeah, that's what I say. How about you, huh? All right. The trivia question is, Saul died along with how many sons? How many of his sons died with him? Was it 10, 3, or 6? Your answer is in 1 Samuel 31:6. For specifics, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am not unaware, let's just say that this has been a different kind of show. Is he just like, yeah, right? Fridays, you just never know.
Never know, Dave.
Never know what's going to happen. Again, if there is a preference to a book that you guys want to hear, just let me know. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but just let me know. I have different books in my mind, and I'll probably head that direction unless somebody comes up with a real unique one. That would be great. And I never mind that, by the way. I always listen to people's input. That doesn't mean I always take it, but I always consider it. I think it's honorable to one another to consider what one another thinks. Again, it doesn't always mean, you know, like I've given people advice for years and people give me for advice for years. Some of it you take, some of it you don't. But you listen. That's just honorable and respectful. All right, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. Your voice sounds a little better than it did yesterday, but I'm still want people to be praying for you. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm still praying.
I know you are, brother. I know. We prayed earlier for her because my wife's not feeling good, and so we were praying for her and for a few other people that weren't feeling good. So
prayer for her.
Yeah, she needs to. When she's not feeling good, I'm not doing as good. I mean, that's just
her
how
name
we
is
are.
Noelle, right?
And what's really funny is, so let me just say this, because I talked to Don about this. So if you don't remember Noelle, people call her Nicole. right? Because it sounds so similar. And then for my last name, instead of Spoon, people would call me David Stone. I just thought that was weird. Anyway, here you go. Sal died along with how many of his sons? Was it 10, 3, or 6?
3.
That is correct, Amundo! Yes, 3 kids. That is a tough loss for the family that day. That is serious stuff right there. And Jonathan, I think being one of them was you know part of that process. So thanks, Eric, for pointing that out. Hey, let me still pray over you because I'm not going to talk to you for a couple days. So I still want to pray and ask the Lord to bless you and heal you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Father, I ask you to bless my brother Gary. I do pray he has a great weekend, by the way, Lord. It's not that I don't want you to bless him. But I really want you to heal him. And we're just asking you. We're just going to keep asking you. We're not going to quit because you like to be pursued and we love to pursue you. So heal my brother Gary to the glory of your name in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. And thank you. And I will be praying for all of you, including your wife, Noelle.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
And God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. I did think it really good that Aunt Deb caught that there was a fill, that after that last teaching I did, the fill was right exactly in sync with it. So that was a good job, Deb. Very good catch. Doesn't happen all the time, but when it happens, it's cool. All right, so just enjoy the show. We got a little bit of time left. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 through 13 says this. So by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you're sinning against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So connecting with our associations, we need to understand something, okay? There are some people in our audience, don't even try to dance around this. There are some people in our audience that believe that Christians should drink no alcohol. There are some people in our audience that think Christians should drink minute amounts. Other people think, well, more's okay as long as you're not going too far. And it always ranges up. And that's true not just for that, but for 1,000 other things, okay? Let's just understand something right now. Whatever is permissible for you, that's fantastic. It's just not okay to use what you find freedom in to crack or fragilely strike somebody else. Now, by saying that, I'm trying to say this. What Paul is saying is by your knowledge, this weaker person, by your knowledge means their own assurance and freedom, that person's freedom. You can't destroy a person or hurt them or point them down because of what you permit in your life. And so the truth is, if you allow something in your life, but you are not sure that somebody else would, you know what the answer is? You don't do it. When there are, I mean, this is not even that complex. This is normal Christian stuff. Because if you take advantage of your assurance and liberty in the presence of another Christian who doesn't have that assurance or liberty, you're sinning against Jesus. And there's no amount of what you can do in your freedom that is going to say it's worth it. See what I'm saying? We can't let our understanding and our freedom hurt other believers. You can't hurt other believers. And Paul took it to, you know, I won't do that at all. Right? I'm not dumb. I'm not going to touch it. Right? Now, that doesn't mean it was the same thing when he fellowshiped with another group, but it does mean it with that group. So if you're with a group or you're not sure where that group's at, hey, here's a brilliant idea. Don't. Because you're just not sure. What you don't want to do is be unaware of how other people walk differently than you. Now, I tend to be a person who likes a lot of sci-fi, and I certainly like some kind of ridiculous television shows. I mean, I'm going to tell you that right now. And every once in a while, I even quote them. But I would never have somebody come over to my house and go, hey, watch this episode of this, because if I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to say. Is like, we got to be careful for one another, caring for one another, loving one another, taking care of one another. in a certain sense, if you are mature and have freedom, but don't use discretion, you're not mature. Because maturity is making sure you're not hurting the other person. That's maturity. Get it? Okay. And I think it was Paul who said, don't let food or drink ruin you, but we'll just talk about that another time. Somebody else on the phone? Okay, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Speaking of maturity or lack thereof, I thought I would chime in. It's Robo from San Diego.
Nobody can understand my level of maturity or immaturity as much as you can, brother.
Well, that's because I'm on the same level, my friend. It's an understanding we've had since the very beginning.
Yeah, I remember one of the first times I told you that I liked sci-fi on the air. You got so excited. We're like, you like sci-fi?
Oh, no, I'm being shot.
Ah, it's classic. But anyway, what's happening, brother?
I actually just called since it's Friday. Just speaking of maturity or immaturity, I heard the word food mentioned about 5 minutes ago, and I was harkened back to when we used to have that French chef, Bernard Diaz, back on the David Spoon Experience. I could listen to this guy talk food for hours and get full at the same time without tasting a thing. It was like during San Diego Restaurant Week.
Yeah, so are you doing that? Was just so phenomenal, wasn't it? Bernard, was his name?
It was it was Bernard Diaz from the Marine Room.
Oh, so there's some things that were good about San Diego. That was one of them for sure.
But you and I just geeked out over the food. I mean, it was just like a never-ending smorgasbord tasting in studio. It was great.
Yeah. What's sad is that you're telling me that reminds me that most of the time when I do radio for the last, so many shows that I've done, I talk about food a lot.
It's a recurring theme here. They don't have Fort Worth or Dallas Restaurant Week, do they? They should.
Yeah. No, there's some pretty wild restaurants here, that's for sure. There's some amazing, amazing food in the Texas land. No question about it. So,
but I also called to say great job with Scott today. Just a phenomenal individual, and it was great to get him on your show.
Yeah, he was great. And you got to tell him I'm sorry that I messed up at the very end. That happens because, we did 20 minutes and we were cutting really tight. We got out with about 3 seconds. So that's how tight we ran it.
That's because it's not just professional radio, David. It's just radio.
That's exactly right, brother. Love you in the Lord, brother.
Phenomenal weekend.
Yeah, you too. Very proud of you, by the way. So be blessed.
Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend, Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We only got 5 minutes left, then the week is over.
Blew by.
Well, that was just, and you just never know about the show. You guys should just be used to that. It's like, well, I don't know. We had no idea what was going to happen with the interview. I don't know. I don't know. Just smile. Here, I'm just going to give you this last. This is really good, though. Super good thing to go into the weekend with. So just listen. Just listen, okay? Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Listen to this. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Now, I like the King James. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I happen to like that. And you think, why? Well, I wrote an entire paper on this passage, like a big, long paper, big, long, long, long paper. The word commit is galal, okay? That word commit is a camel, because where it comes from, a camel kneeling down to roll off the load or the burden that they're carrying, the camel's carrying, to transfer what is rolled off. And so the word commit means to transfer or roll it off from you from one person to another. Okay? That's where it comes from. Actually, the first usage ever of the word came from when Jacob removed the well for the girls. Okay? Now just listen. Commit your activities. Commit your works. Commit your plans. Whatever. Commit. Roll it off of you. To where? The Lord. Stop trying to run everything in life. Just stop. You're going to tell them what the weather's going to be. We hear weather reports. I just want to say this. It's going to rain all day on Friday. It rained in somewhere. Just didn't rain where I was anywhere. So I'm just saying, they don't know. Everybody thinks they know. They don't know. Listen, commit it unto the Lord. Our activities, and that's another translation, commit your activities to the Lord. That's what must be submitted for his approval. He must approve of what we're doing. So you can't just commit your plans to the Lord. I plan on building the biggest empire in the universe. Okay, so that's not going to work. And your plans will be achieved if it's what is connected to the Lord and the Lord wants to do it. This means that everything yields unto the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who take it on. Those people that try to build something without the help of God, it will not last. Think of the Tower of Babel. They were united, but God wasn't united in their thought process. They were making a lot of progress. They were making a lot of headway, but God didn't let it be completed. It wasn't that they couldn't do any of it. They just couldn't finish it. You want it to be finished, you make sure that it's committed to the Lord and that it's connected to him and it's surrendered to him. And he's the one that gives the approval. Why I'm trying to tell you this is sometimes we start things and they don't always stay. And if the Lord says, well, I want you to go this far and no farther, that's as far as you're going to go. Because unless the Lord does it, you're not going to finish. That's what I want you to get. So we're not, we can't take any more calls because it's just, we're just too tight. But listen, okay? You have something you're doing. You roll it unto the Lord. You do it in a partnership with God. If the Lord doesn't give it the final stamp of approval, it is not approved. It will not last. But if the Lord is with you in the building of it, it's eternal. Here's something that'll blow your mind. I just want you to get this. You are an eternal work in the Lord. You are an eternal house that the Lord is building. And just think about that. And the Lord is building you, and he'll never let you crash to nothing in him. Get that? Always be in him. Always do it in partnership with God. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Surrendering them to the Lord. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 70 and 1/2 hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone
and everything he finds. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.